Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
So the news, every Oilers fan is going to be wondering what the heck is going to happen when Connor McDavid gets his MRI tomorrow. The initial good news, seemingly good news, is there was no break, no terrible break. Mm-hmm. Some people were fearing a break, kind of like what happened to Steve Stamkos when Stamkos rammed into the post. Stamkos's fall looked different. There was more of a twisting, wrenching, like his foot right looked like skate went right into the post first and kind of wrenched his whole leg. So I'm hoping, Bruce, I got my fingers crossed, this is a bad bruise, a really, really bad bruise and nothing more than that. And that's my hope for tonight. We'll find out, of course, tomorrow. So this is our Two Good Things, Two Bad Things, and Two Numbers podcast on the Oilers 3-1 win in the final regular season game of the year, Bruce. We'll stick to the format, as tempted as I am, just to talk about McDavid the whole night. But what was your good thing?
Well, it's got to be Leon Draisaitl hitting the 50 mark in the first period with a wicked shot that it looked early like Mike Smith was feeling his oats, and I thought, not one of these games again, but Leon beat him clean. He had a terrific first period, three really good shots on net. And then after McDavid got hurt early in the second, his heart kind of went out of it, I thought. Yeah. And it wasn't just a matter of he didn't have McDavid feeding him the puck. He didn't feed him the puck on his goal either. It just didn't seem like the zest for the game kind of left much of the team at that point. Or maybe that was a projection from me as a fan,
because I was
freaking drained watching it. And anyway, although we nearly got number 51, oh man, he made such a beautiful play, center ice with the empty net, and he flipped it high. And Rasmus Anderson just took a wild overhead swing at it, and he whacked. It was probably 11 feet off the ice, going into the empty net to tie Ovechkin for the Rock of Shard, right? It's an equal split if you get the number. But it wasn't to be. Rasmus Anderson prevented it with a play that he probably couldn't repeat if he gave another 50 chances at it. But he happened to make contact that time, so 50 it is, but 50 is a hell of a number. What a season. What a season for the big German.
Big Dry. He is a fantastic hockey player. And there's going to be great things to come for Leon Draisaitl. He's just a big, durable horse on the ice, two-way center. He's going to be a two-way center, I think. I still think, although I'm hearing arguments, maybe the Oilers just have to get good enough where they can keep playing Draisaitl with McDavid. But I do think that the best look for the team, and it was interesting when Sagan and Ben came to town with Dallas, Ken Hitchcock was asked, when do you fear them the most? And he said, when they're apart. Definitely when they're apart. That's when Dallas is the toughest to play against. And I think if Ken Hitchcock had his druthers, that's what he would have done this year. But they just didn't have anyone else to play with.
They didn't have any wingers.
They had Nuge, I guess, you could play with one of them, but they were short about three skilled wingers, obviously. Maybe Cassian could fit, maybe they're just short two, but they were short a significant number, greater than one. And so I think we'll see Draisaitl at center, but what a great year. My good thing, Bruce, was Mikko Koskinen.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing a little research here. He finished with a 9.05 save percentage.
That's pretty close to the league average. Last time I checked, I think it was 9.08 or something this year. It's definitely gone down with the smaller goalie equipment this season. Shooting percentages have gone up. Goals have gone up.
Well, that's really interesting. I didn't know it had gone had dropped so much. That's really significant, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm just checking since, let me see here. In these 13 years of darkness or whatever it is, 13 years minus one of darkness, his save percentage, Mikko Koskinen in 905, is kind of in the middle. So Cam Talbot was 908 last year, but the save percentage was higher last year, the average save percentage. So Koskinen was a He's about what was it last year? 915? No,
Yeah, they
is
got it
that
at
high?
nine. It's at 9:10 now, according to any hockey reference. It was in
Okay.
the high 9-0 something, but it's crept back up to 9:10 with all the 2-1 games lately, I guess. But it's still the lowest. That's the lowest it's been. The last time it was as low as 9:10 was 10 years ago, 2008-09. We're just talking
And
fractions of it, a
yeah,
thousandth of a finger
2007,
there.
8. Yeah, so he's right in. He's kind of where Talbot was last year in terms of his play, or Rolison was in 2007, 8, 2006, 7. Rolly was at 909 and 901 in those 2 years. So it's kind of on a really bad team. He's kind of in the middle of things. So, but tonight, there has been games, many, like at least a dozen, maybe as many 20 games, Bruce, where he's looked like a really strong NHL
Yeah,
goalie.
tonight was one of those games for sure.
And he just was, he just, he moves well in the net in those games. He doesn't let in any weak ones. He looks solid. Everything looks good about the guy. And he sure, he, so he's kind of, he's been kind of hot and cold, and maybe, it's his first NHL season. We'll see if he can get better in a second one out. The Oilers certainly need that. But a good game, a good way for Koskinen to end the season. It's just a little bit, things were so down and people were negative. This will just put a little bit more of a positive spin on what's been kind of an okay year for his contract, but not an okay year for someone who just got signed for
Well, he
$4.5 million
just got
for
his
3 years.
first real rest since 2 months. First
Yeah.
week of February was the last time, he missed one game because he was sick, or he missed the Toronto game, so he had a little break between starts. But I wouldn't exactly call that a rest. But this time, he actually had a night off, and he bounced back with an energetic, strong game. And man, that save, that one save he made on the rebound shot at the post there was just fantastic. Couldn't believe he
He
got over to that one.
can really move in the net.
Yeah, for such a huge man.
It's funny. It's just he just seems like it's there's the good Koskinen and bad Koskinen. Like some nights he's just Ken Dryden reincarnated, and other nights he's I don't know, Warren Skorodensky. If Warren
Warren
Skorodensky was a
score against
footballer,
me. Warren score against me, they used to call
yeah, he's just lost in the net. He just seems like it's alien to him being in the net. Like, do I move this way or that way? Anyway, I like Koskinen. Like, he wears his emotions on his face, and when he lets in a bad goal, he gets, you can see he's embarrassed. He's actually, and he feels it, and he's angry. And I like the player. I really rooting for him.
Well, we're all
Okay.
rooting for him now that they're paying him. I mean, he's gonna have to cover that bet or a
Oh,
big chunk of it.
no, Bruce. You're giving too much credit to some Oilers fans who are rooting, for failure to
Well,
see what the Oilers are.
we're rooting for the Oilers to win. We're rooting for Koskinen to for the good Koskinen to be the dominant version of him.
Yeah. I guess now that Shirelli's fired, people don't have to root against the Oilers in that same way. Although
I
they still.
haven't sensed much of a change. I mean, there's
Oh.
still anger out there, and they're just at other people. And anybody who's got any sort of taint of the bigger picture just isn't getting much mercy out there, man. It's tough. It's tough.
I guess on a certain, like, fair enough. Like, really,
Well,
like,
I certainly understand it.
they
I
haven't got,
understand those feelings well, actually. I'm pretty upset with my team
they haven't gotten rid of
this
their pro
year.
scouts. They still have a lot of the old boys still there. Like, there's been no house cleaning in any
Both of
real
them.
sense. They haven't hired let's see who they hire. So, the Nicholson's still there. So, anyway. All right. So your bad thing, Bruce, is Mark
Oh,
Giordano. Tell me about
yeah.
that.
Well, yeah. He got suspended earlier this year for a bit of a dirty takedown of Mikko Koivu, Minnesota Wild's captain, who missed the remainder of the season after that. And tonight, I'm not going to go out and say it was malicious or dirty, but I am going to say it was dangerous. He just dove at McDavid's legs as he was driving for the net front. He just dove at his legs and he took him legs right out from under him and sent him crashing into the post because there was nowhere else to go. And I understand trying to make a desperate defensive play, but I also understand respect for the opponent, and I didn't see it on that play.
here's what I'm seeing. I'm just watching it again, Bruce. So McDavid goes to make his move, and he is puck protecting.
Yeah.
And Giordano goes in there to go for the puck, and McDavid grabs his hockey stick out of midair.
And
so Giordano can't go for the puck. And also that it may or may not slingshot Giordano a little bit under McDavid. So I don't, and here's, okay, here's what, so I'm, I don't think it was a dirty play. And here's what Giordano had to say about it.
Yeah, I tweeted this out there already.
Says, I feel terrible. Again. Told this to Eric Francis of Sportsnet and the rest of the reporters there, I'm guessing. I feel terrible. I honestly thought I could get that puck when I dove for it. And watching the replay, I missed it and my stick kind of trips him. I was trying to ask him right away. He was in a lot of pain there, so he wasn't saying much. Obviously, with the result being what it is, if I had to do it all over again, I'd almost rather see myself let him go, not injure him. It's easy to say after the
almost,
fact.
Almost, yeah.
I'm not trying to make a dirty play there. And I don't think he was, Bruce. Like, honestly, he was going for the...
There was some reckless play, though. Diving at a guy's legs, you know.
McDavid's also leaning in. Like, they're two players. They both have ownership of the same spot. Now, the referee did call a penalty.
He did.
And,
you know, a freaking penalty got called on the play. All you got to do is break your leg, and then maybe they've got a 2-minute minor out of it.
I see him. If McDavid hadn't grabbed his stick, he might have got the puck, okay? He might have knocked the puck off his stick, and he still might have wiped out McDavid. But there would have been a different optics on the whole play. It would have looked more legal, more fair. So I don't think it was a dirty play. I think it was, he was trying to go for the puck, and it was it was a hard hockey play, but it's the NHL and that's what happens. And I would be surprised if McDavid says anything about it. Not that he would.
No. We'll see. I mean, he said something about Brandon Manning.
Yeah, he did. So I bet you he
was classless, and Peter Chiarelli was so impressed he went out and traded for the freaking guy. I still can't get over that one. That's my bad thing.
Hey, my bad thing.
Maybe we should trade for Giordano now, though. Maybe the precedent's been set. Artists could actually use a player like that.
Yeah, they trade for him now just when he's probably he's ready to fall off a cliff in terms of his productivity. Yeah. Okay, my good thing. Geez, what's my good thing? Or my bad thing? Obviously, it's just McDavid getting hurt. I mean, that was just so unbelievably deflating and wrenching, and we're still waiting. And, so there's been some good news that the x-ray is negative, but of course, man, everything, and it's just, we're just, you know, the Sakura injury kind of popped into my head, you know, like ligament damage and I'm just worried about that kind of thing.
Talking about MRI.
Yeah, MRI, and who knows what they're going to find. So we'll know more about tomorrow. So let's leave, I guess, tomorrow's worries for then. But today we have enough of them.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll all turn out just fine and we'll have some good news. Good news tomorrow.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, for such a, you know, mostly terrible season, I mean, can you think of a worse way for it to end? I mean,
no.
In a nothing game like that?
Well, I can, but it's right up, it's the highest on the list. It's pretty high up there on the list. Bruce, what's your number?
Well, I already mentioned 50 with Leon, which is a nice round number, but so I'm going to go with one, which is the one power play that Edmonton got in tonight's game. Now, this wasn't a particularly physical or dirty game, but man, you get tired of it. 9 games of the last 11, one power play in the whole game. And it's kind of open season out there. There's a lot of people out there mad. I saw a lot of tweets at NHL player safety and stuff saying, well, if you don't call penalties all year, well, guess what's going to happen eventually, sooner or later. And, you know, they got a point. But I'm not going to beat it to death. I'm just going to say the facts are one power play 9 times in the last 11 games, which is an exceptionally low number of power play opportunities in an NHL game. And it's like, I don't know, the team doesn't get a whole hell of a lot of respect from NHL referees. And I don't know why that is. I mean, they don't get a lot of respect from a lot of quarters, but the referees are the one place where you'd expect, you know, they're just out there to call a fair game. And I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, it's disturbing, but season's over. I think we got a few more power. Last year we set an all-time low, 210 power play opportunities in a full season. It was the lowest ever recorded since the Oilers were in the NHL.
Yeah, not good. All right. My number, Bruce, is 6.5%.
Oh, I bet I know what that is.
The Oilers' odds of winning the lottery. So three teams will move up, correct? So it's that strikes
Yeah.
me. If the Oilers have a 6.5% chance, they will have roughly a 20% chance of moving up, period. Is
Yeah,
that
I think
correct?
it's about the same percent, maybe
Each time.
6% at second or third
It goes
overall
up a
pick.
little bit each time to get to move up because one team drops out. The team that won
Right.
previously isn't in the
Right.
next lottery. And then you have about it. So the Oilers really have essentially about a 7% chance the second time around and 7% chance. So it's about 20% chance overall of moving up into one of the top three picks. So when you're now, for some reason, I don't want them to win. I know the reason. I don't want them to win the lottery. I just don't want to hear all the abuse anymore. God, I'm tired of it. Probably a
Yeah.
bad reason. But I'd like them to finish, get second or third pick. Because then we get a really good player and we wouldn't have to hear all the crap from everybody else. And we know like winning the lottery doesn't, I don't know how much better the top player is than the next two players, but there's some really, it sounds like there's about three really great players in this draft, maybe four, but Hughes, Capo, what's his name? The
Capo
guy with
Caco or
the
something.
guy with the sushi name,
I'm still learning that one.
Capomaki,
Capo Caco.
and Bowen Byram, and so it sounds like there's three, like, and I know the Oilers need a forward, but they could really use Bowen Byram as well, so. They're probably gonna. They finish seventh, I guess, in the league. So they're probably going to. They got past the Rangers because they won tonight. So,
Yeah, Rangers actually gave Oilers a chance. With another regulation loss, they would have got up to sixth best odds, but
yeah.
I'd rather
So
be
the Oilers could
Calgary.
draft ninth. What?
Yeah, they could go to as low as 10th.
Tenth.
If three teams below them all happen to win the top three picks, right? Which the odds are pretty slim because they have thin odds each team, and for three of them to win would be long. But that actually kind of happened last year.
Yeah, they could easily draft eighth. Like that wouldn't be a surprise for them to drop one spot, like for some one team
Yeah,
top.
last year they dropped a
Yeah,
spot to
and
eight
that's what
and
I'm
nine.
expecting. So they're going to draft eighth, and there's going to be obviously there's really good players, but in any NHL draft, there's a huge differentiation in the first round between the first overall pick and as you drop to the 10th overall. Those first two or three picks, those are where those elite players are. And then after that, it's a lot more of a crapshoot. I think it's more like a 50-50 bet that you're going to get a really good player, or even less than that, if memory serves, that you're going to get a really good player. And by the time you get to the 10th pick, I think it's more like 1 in 3 that you're going to get a really good player. So you can only invest so much hope in this. But what else do we got, man? We got that and the Bakersfield Condors.
Well, the hope is that they're going to start to find other pipelines of talent besides top draft picks, because you look at all the core players on the team, that's the only way they know how to get them. They're
That they've
not
just
getting
been
any lower
terrible.
picks. They're not getting any free bargain free agents to speak of. They're not they're not winning any trades.
It's like
And
it's like 30 years of crappy drafting. Maybe 30 years of the worst drafting in the NHL of any team. And we Oilers fans know as old Oilers fans know as well as anyone the value of great drafting, what that means to a team. But it's been 30 years since 85, essentially, of, and then, it's picked up, I think, the last few years. Hopefully, it looks like it has. You never know until the players actually pan out whether that's the truth
Yeah.
or not. And we've had hope in other years that,
We said
I
that in
think the 2011
2010
draft and
also.
the 2012, we were all, ooh, it's going to work out great. And it didn't. So, but it's 30 years, Bruce, of crappy drafting. And that's why the Edmonton Oilers have been crappy. as much as anything.
Yeah, I detailed some of it in the post, my game day post today, just comparing Edmonton to Calgary. Like 5 years ago, they were drafting right next to each other 2 years in a row. And now Calgary's first in the West, and Edmonton's still way down in 14th. And Calgary's just, and that's with the Oilers getting all these draft picks, including McDavid, of course, and Draisaitl in that time. But everything else has just come up snake eyes over and over again.
Such an important part of the game that I do think, I mean, I don't think it's too, like, what we're seeing in Bakersfield, we haven't seen with an Oilers franchise at the minor league level. Well, I did a post on it since I think 1983, 82, when the Oilers Wichita win. With Andy Moog, Charlie Huddy, and John Muckler as the coach. Yeah. Walt Podubny was on that team. Walt Podubny became a very
40 goals in that Quebec.
So the Oilers haven't had a franchise a team as good at the AHL level since then. So there's some hope.
Give or take the Bill McDougall led 1993 Cape Breton Oilers that won the Allen Cup, but
that was a different kind of. It was a veteran team with Dan Curry, who was too slow for the NHL, but just killed it in the minor leagues.
Calder Cup, pardon me.
Yeah, killed it. And McDougal, who got, I think, what was it, 26 goals?
26 goals and 26 assists.
That's crazy.
Absolutely crushed it.
But those guys weren't NHL prospects. They were like 24, and McDougal, I think, was 25 or 26. And he was out of he didn't even stay in the Oilers organization after that.
He went to Tampa, and then he went to Europe.
Yeah,
he just caught lightning in a bottle somehow.
But that was a team.
Now they got legit, 20, 21-year-olds, not 26-year-old like Bill McDougal was or something like that. And they're certainly, in terms of NHL future, they got a lot more going on than those 93 Cape Breton Oilers did. But I think you might be right, the Wichita Wind from way back then. They actually played a game here. Do you remember that? They came here in the spring of 82. That was the year the Oilers got knocked out by LA in the first round, the big upset miracle in Manchester and all that stuff. And Wichita Wind got into, I think it was the second, if not the third round of the CHL, Central Hockey League playoffs. And they decided to bring him in here for one playoff game against the Indianapolis Checkers. And so they played a game, won the game of the series here, and there was like 14,000, almost 15,000 fans came out to Northlands Coliseum to see a Central Hockey League playoff game.
So Bakersfield lost tonight 4-2 to the San Antonio Rampage. Ethan Bear scored the two goals for Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. They've been more of a struggling team, but like a win one, lose one kind of team lately.
Have they four losses in a row, actually?
Oh, really? Yeesh.
They lost both in Winnipeg against the Manitoba Moose, and they lost their last game before they came north. And if they lost tonight, then the bloom has come off the rose. But they'll be getting, well, they would have gotten Curry back possibly tonight. I don't know if he's in the lineup. And for sure, they'll be getting now Joe Gambardella and Brad Malone back. And hopefully Patrick Russell soon. I think he's a good player that they miss.
They've got to, they're now 2 points. In 65 games, they have 83 points. Mm-hmm. And the San Jose Barracuda have 81 points in 65 games. So Bakersfield's 2 points ahead in the Pacific Division. So they got to pull up their boots here in the final game. Is it 3 games left?
There's a whole week to go, yeah.
3 games.
Well, I think, I'm not sure if it's 3 or 2. I think they play 68.
That's right, and they've played 65 so far.
Yeah, okay.
So let me just see. Who are you wondering who played tonight? You were wondering if someone played tonight?
Curry. Josh Curry. They just sent him down yesterday. Yeah. Okay.
So Gambardella will be going down. Mm-hmm. And Malone. Mm-hmm. So they'll be getting those two players. Patrick Russell was back in the lineup.
Oh, good. Okay. That's a guy. I think he's a kind of a real good, solid contributor for him. And frankly, I hope the Oilers sign him this summer. I thought he was fine when they called him up, and he's a good sort of tweener.
So they bring back those two guys. And, they should be good to go. You know, every team goes through high. They were riding high for so long.
Oh, yeah.
it's almost, you don't want to say it's good they've had a slump, but kind of.
If you're going to lose four straight, you're going to want to do that during the regular season and not the playoffs, is what
it's everyone in. Yeah, everyone's in an ornery mood all of a sudden, so that'll be.
Yeah.
Losing has a way of making people mighty, mighty ornery. So, yeah, they're going to.
I wouldn't know anything about that being Oilers fans.
Or a minor hockey coach. Even at that level, people get ornery.
Yeah.
All righty.
So I'm wearing my green shirt today, David, and I put my absolute best collectible, a game used Yaroslav Pozar stick out on the porch. Left the light on, sticks out for Humboldt. April 6th today. Can't let it go by without mentioning the tragedy of 1 year ago that lives in all our hearts.
Terrible. Terrible. That was a nice thing, having the sticks out there, I thought.
Got behind this team in a number of, you know, I'd say meaningful ways. I mean, there's nothing anybody can do, right? Nothing. Anybody. But the empathy and the support and the, you know, the GoFundMe $15 million that was collected, but just the, you know, the little things people did, like knit sweaters and make my wife got a beautiful glass bead green with Humboldt colors that somebody did as a project and did it, you know, sold it for cheap and still gave all the money away as a fundraiser for the team and stuff. And there's just so many little acts of kindness and also a significant breakthrough in the organ donor cards. And it was so some good came out of it, but man, oh man, what a price to pay.
Yeah, puts everything in perspective.
Yeah. All right. So whatever disaster befell the Oilers tonight, it wasn't anything close to that.
Or this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Bruce.
It's just a game.
It is. It's just talking. All right. Thanks for talking tonight, Bruce.
Thanks for listening all season, everyone. It's been tough, and thanks for hanging in there, and thanks for the words of support that we get online from time to time. They're much appreciated.
Yeah, people do tweet at us, and it's it really is encouraging, and it's interesting, Bruce, because I think in all the years I've been a writer, which is a long time now I think I had my first byline in about 1981.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you connect with people as a writer, but there's something different about broadcasting and talking and people hearing the broadcast and they just seem more genuinely appreciative of the work. Like, honestly, there's more of it seems like a personal connection, which has been so interesting for me to discover that after all this time in journalism. And we're going to continue the podcast, of course, through the summer. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be doing the Bakersfield games, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. We're both getting the package, I think, and watching those games and doing game grading and scoring chance work on those games. And we're going to treat them like we're going to give them the respect they deserve for a team that could soon graduate two or three players, maybe four, to the Edmonton Oilers. And after that, of course, the trade season draft, and we'll be doing podcasts then. And then I think we even did them through the summer last summer, didn't we, Bruce?
We talked about the Boston Bruins. Once a week or so, we have something going on. So we talk about some aspect of the team. I mean, once you get into August, there's nothing really breaking in the way of news, but there always seems to be a hunger for discussion 12 months a year. That never goes away completely. It slows down, obviously, in the second part of the summer, but there's still the interest in the team is an ongoing thing.
All righty. Thanks again. Thanks, in the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.